following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I miss my friends. When I've been in Chicago, I had to get back in. We're doing double duty today. We've got a full show, plus we've got co-hosts. I think that works. Damon Day, UNK baseball coach. He's definitely going to be with us for at least 10 minutes. And then when's tea time today? Or you got luncheon with Bubba?
We got a big soccer match today.
We got
the Green Grasshoppers taking on the Lizards down at West Lincoln Way. So it's on today.
So the Lizards are quick along the ground, but the Hoppers are fast.
You know, I've
agile.
All I know about soccer is what I've learned on YouTube. I actually went on to YouTube and looked up some soccer stuff so that I at least could be an educated dad when Bubba and Emma asked me stuff. I don't understand anything on it, so maybe we'll have to get Coach Scott Steinbrink to give like one of those, you know, crash courses for dads on the soccer rules or whatnot. But I like it. I enjoy watching the kids play soccer. It's I don't get it, but I enjoy it.
You don't have to apologize for that, Double D. Soccer is a great sport. That's coming from a guy that just hardly has ever watched a soccer game.
Who actually played football, the real football. Monty Kratzenstein also in with us today because we want to talk a little Husker football. Brandon Scherff is our Big Ten feature, outstanding offensive lineman, All-American prospect out of Iowa. We'll also be talking with the head coach of the Shelton Gibbon Legion baseball program, Paul Stroh, state champions last night. That's coming up at the end of the show. And as if we didn't have enough comedic relief in this studio, Nick Hoff is going to be coming in. He is a Hastings native. He's going to be performing at the World Theater in Kearney on Friday night. He'll be at the Lark in his hometown of Hastings on Saturday, and then he heads west. He'll be performing at the Improv in Las Vegas. He makes a stop for the weekend, next weekend out in Denver, and we'll talk about that, his latest CD and all that he's got going on out there. So that's coming up on the program today. So we got a little bit of everything. Is that okay?
Comedian, Bob and Tom show.
Yeah.
You were in Chicago. Did you hear the Bob and Tom show?
Well, I can hear the Bob and Tom show here.
You can?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I'm not going to promote that.
I did not know that.
You are loyal. That's what you are, loyal.
I haven't been here for a while, but did we switch formats or anything?
Nah.
We got a comedian. We're talking about little kids soccer. What did I miss?
Yeah, exactly. Let's get back on.
It's the dog days before Husker football. We're just trying. There's nothing new to report.
Can we talk about Damon's golf game? Because that's the real news. That's the good news.
Well, we do have breaking news. The USA Today preseason coaches football poll has just come out. And the number one team in the country is Florida State, followed by Alabama, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Auburn. Question is, how many of those will be in the top five? Will those four make the final four? Obviously, they won't because odds say no. The rounding out the top 10, Ohio State is sixth, UCLA seventh, Michigan State eighth, South Carolina ninth, and Baylor, the pride of the Big 12. They are 10th. Where's Nebraska? Right behind Kansas State. At number 22 in the USA Today coaches poll. So some of the preseason magazines had Nebraska ranked. I believe the highest was 16th. A couple didn't have them ranked at all. Coaches poll have them at number 22. A&M is 20th, then Kansas State, Nebraska, North Carolina, Texas, and Washington. What do you think about that, Monty?
How many coaches actually voted in that poll as opposed to the SIDs and an intern?
Yeah, well, most of this is just based off last year and on the magazine's polls as well, but it's a place to start.
You've heard my philosophy on preseason anything.
And I disagree with it.
I know you do, and that's why I love being here with you. I just look at it and I go, oh, okay. You know, I understand it's here for us to talk about, but what I really do enjoy doing is looking at the preseason polls and then at the end of the season looking at the and seeing how close they mesh. And, you know, sometimes they do, most of the times they don't.
And the one thing about that, and did Notre Dame make
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that, I was
yeah,
just
there
gonna,
they are.
I was
sorry.
17. I was
sorry.
Just about to say,
17.
Where's, there you go.
17.
Perfect.
The one thing, though, I think we have a similar line on what we think of the preseason polls, but I don't see any difference in the preseason poll and starting something in October. You're still going to have national pundits. Even if Alabama loses a game, they're going to be in the top five. If you vote on the poll, you cannot be afraid to drop a team or raise a team 8 or 10 spots every single week just because they win. I mean, just moving them up one spot, one spot, one spot. It's getting to the poll. If you lose, you drop down to as far as all the other guys that won or to the next losing team. There seems to not be a lot of rhyme or reason to those polls. If you start at the top, I mean, Florida State's got to lose twice. Alabama's got to lose twice. You know, the top five teams have to lose twice to really fall out of contention.
And that's exactly what you're saying is, you know, who that affects is every other year or so you have a team that's undefeated that started out in the 20s and all of a sudden they can't get up high enough to get into that BCS world. That's one impact. The other thing is you're right. If more people had your philosophy of saying, okay, I am going to bounce people around a little bit based on the last week's performance, not on what I think of the big picture, then it would have more reality to it. But it just doesn't.
You're a coach. What do you think of polls?
Oh, as a coach, you hate polls. You don't even pay attention to them. But as just a fan, like, you know, I'm just kind of a college football fan. I look at the polls. You want to see your team climbing and doing certain things. I think it's funny, though, when, you know, there's always those two or three teams that has their schedule does not even warrant them to be anywhere near a top five team because they're not going to play anybody. And they just sit there all year. They just kind of hover.
Because they never lose and they're never challenged.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think this whole – This whole football season is so exciting, obviously, with the playoff coming at the end. But I think it excites fan bases, and that's what you're trying to do right now. And that's what polls do. They don't really mean anything right now, but I think it's exciting for a fan base. I think you're going to have half the fan base of Nebraska excited that they're 22nd. You're going to have the other half of the fan base that's pretty frustrated that we're only 22nd. And that's the debate. Now everybody's got something to talk about over the weekend and whatnot. I think that's what polls do is they continue to drive conversation, and that's good.
I'll ask you, Monty, a question that I got to spend a little bit of time yesterday on The Bottom Line, which is Michael Zavir's show on the Omaha World Herald website every afternoon. And he wanted to know what the perception of Nebraska football was in the central and our western part of the state, which still isn't the western part of the state, as opposed to
those Omaha guys. Yeah. Any place west of Lincoln is western part. I've lived there. I know that.
He even said they don't hardly count Lincoln anymore because Lincoln is Lincoln and that's the home of the school. I said, you know what? Every time one of the newspapers does a story on Nebraska football, whether it's the Huskers High School, they always go out and they send their reporter in incognito and he just sits down and starts talking to people in a restaurant at Amherst or at the bar in Gibbon or the coffee house, you know, in Ravenna, whatever the case may be, and just starts talking. And he says, well, you know, and he's writing notes. What do you write? Well, I'm doing a story for the war. And invariably, they're always, we support Nebraska. Hope Bo does good. Hope Frank Solich does good. Hope Tom Osborne does good. I told him I thought that was still the perception in this part of the state. I said there are people that are upset with the way Bo acts, but they still want Nebraska to win, and there is still as many Nebraska fans today as there was 25 years ago.
I think there's a true – see what you guys think. I think there's a true division in from an age standpoint. I think that the, and I don't know where to exactly pick it, but let's say, you know, 45 and older, 50 and older. I think that that group who kind of goes back to the glory days, they remember those glory days. They remember Devaney, Coach Osborne. They remember those 90s years, things like that. And they are loyal. They are supporting no matter what. They're the, quote, most loyal fans in America sort of thing. I think the and blame it on social media, blame it on ESPN, blame it on whatever, but I think that younger age bracket group, the 20s and maybe early 30s type of thing, it's been a long time since Nebraska has been at that level, up in that top five sort of a realm. So I think they're level of impatience and frustration and those sort of things, and disgruntlement, if you want to say that, is a lot higher. So I think it's very hard to paint with a broad brush of, okay, this is what Central and Western Nebraska is about. You see what I'm saying? What do you think about that?
I agree. I think that you can probably cut the momentum for Nebraska football right down the line from the standpoint of you do have that older generation of fans that are diehard. They do remember the glory days. They do remember Coach Osborne. And there's a great affinity for that type of their mindset of what Nebraska football is. I think the new generation, I think it's not so much become about the football team. I think it's more become about the football weekend. I think it's become about going to the games, about having having the Husker parties. And I mean, you can. I think it's become such a big event on a weekend, for the newer generation of fan than it has, more so than in the past.
And I've said, this isn't a criticism. This is just my opinion. When you look at, you've been to Nebraska football games, you've been to Notre Dame football games. I don't know what other venues you've been to, but you know there is no place like Nebraska Stadium, Memorial Stadium on a Saturday. That doesn't make it a tough place to play. That doesn't make it a difficult place for an opponent to come in. And I know other coaches always talk. I've talked to other coaches who come in there and play, and they say, you know what? You hit it early. You really get after it early. You quiet the crowd. You get taken out of it. It is not a hostile crowd. But we've all been to some of those games where things have started out, big games, things have started out well, and that crowd can be really raucous. My point is, I think that's kind of a microcosm of the fan base in Nebraska as well. When things are going pretty well, yeah, everybody's on the bandwagon and whatnot. If things aren't, we're kind of fetaled up a little bit, and that's what I think.
And I would agree. I think that there is no place like Nebraska, and I've been fortunate, you know, that my father took me to a lot of games, and where I grew up, there was just so many. You could get to so many. You could get to Wisconsin. You could get to Illinois. Mm-hmm. You could get to Purdue. You know, you got to go to Notre Dame. Obviously, was the one the closest, but we got to go to Ohio State. It's such a different type of environment. It is such a statewide event, but it's almost to the point where the games that I've been to, the game isn't the big deal,
right?
And some of these other places that I've been to. It is on. If you've been to an Ohio State night game, if you have been
what's
to
your favorite? What's your favorite? I mean, obviously, besides the affinity for Notre Dame.
Ohio State, Michigan's probably the greatest college football atmosphere I've ever seen in the Horseshoe in Columbus. I got the opportunity to do that. That was probably over the top. But that's beyond raucous. That's like.
Right.
That's like, I would rather, that's one of those.
Have you ever been to Southeast Conference?
No, I've never been to an SEC game. Never been to an SEC game. Only Big Ten. I actually been to a Pac-12 game now. You know, a game at UCLA down in Pasadena. Got to do some stuff like that. But the Nebraska one, and I took my wife to a Notre Dame game, and the how would you say the pomp and the circumstance of all of Notre Dame with the how different it is compared to a Husker game, and that's what makes it neat to go to all these different places. You know, they talk about the SEC; it's the world's biggest outdoor cocktail parties. You know, and so I agree totally. The Nebraska Stadium is not as hostile a place to play as some other places. If you spread out throughout the Big Ten,
many of the players. And when we go to media days or even when you have them on game day and get a chance to talk to them, they still talk about Lincoln being one of their favorite places to play, win, lose, or draw. And part of that is they get all the atmosphere without people yelling things at them from the stands, I'm sure.
You aren't going to get a urine-filled bottle thrown at you.
Thank you, Colorado. Thank you, Colorado.
Missouri. That's the one.
Well, in Colorado, they were frozen ice. Chunks. Bo Pelini on campus today at ESPN. You may have seen him on ESPN Sports Center this morning, and we'll hopefully get a chance to talk about that here in the next hour. Obviously, he's taking a little break so he can listen to the Doug and Daddy show, but then at 12:15, he's on Highly Questionable. He'll be on College Football Live. He'll have a lot more going on throughout the day. Half the Big Ten coaches were there yesterday, and the other half are there today. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy show. Offensive lineman Brandon Scherff of Iowa a little bit later on. Shelton Gibbon, state championship coach Paul Stroh. They won the senior C division last night. He'll join us at the end of the show. And when we come back, Hastings' own Nick Hoff, comedian, going to be performing a couple of shows. We'll determine whether he's a comedian or not. Performing a couple of shows here in Hastings and in Kearney Friday and Saturday. We'll be back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth in just a moment. But, folks, if it's time to work on the lawn and your landscaping this weekend, Johnson Lawn and Landscaping is the only name you need to know. Trees, shrubs, rocks, custom concrete edging means you get both style and functionality to your new or existing landscape. Serving the Tri-Cities for years, you can call them at 308-237-LAWN. Or you can get them online at NebraskaLandscape.com. And don't forget to stop into the nursery located just beside Yellow Van on 6th Street in Kearney. Proudly landscaping Nebraska and doing amazing work every single day at Johnson Lawn and Landscaping here in Kearney. Back with more after this.
Did you just chug that entire 20-ounce pop?
Yeah, I needed energy.
You'll need energy to run the 2.5 miles it takes to burn those calories.
2.5 miles? From one pop?
Drinking only 6 pops a month could add 5 pounds of fat in a year.
Wow. So if I drank one a day, that's like 25 pounds a year.
You better get running.
Maybe I'll just rethink my drink and choose water.
Water's a great choice. Visit ActivateBuffaloCounty.com for more info on rethinking your drink.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be partly sunny, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high near 86. Tonight, we'll continue the slight chance of showers and thunderstorms early, otherwise partly cloudy, low of 57. For Friday, sunny with a high near 85. Currently, it's 75.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. The final day of July. That means Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, their Chevy Summer Drive event ends today. Don't let it pass by when you can get 0% APR for 72 months on all 2014 Silverado light and heavy duty pickups, or 0% for 60 months on the 2014 Malibu, Impala, or Cruze. and the Extreme giveaway. They're going to be giving that away here after this weekend. That's right. How about signing up at thinkmidway.com or their Facebook page? A winner is going to get a Kawasaki Vulcan 900 and a tandem skydive through Skydive Atlas. The contest runs through tomorrow, so don't miss out on all these great deals for the summer of fun at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Doug Duda along with Damon Day and Monty Kratzenstein on today's show.
Are you a motorcyclist?
No, grew up on a farm.
Okay.
Okay, so had the three-wheeler, which now every wuss has a four-wheeler.
But those three-wheelers are probably the most dangerous vehicles ever invented.
Wrecked one.
Nobody told us that when we were growing up on the farm and ranch. I think about things that we did on those things. I'm like, what in the world were my parents thinking?
Flooring it out of our vast cornfield. And I don't remember if it was pre-planting or after harvest. I just know that it wasn't like I was going through grown, you know, the mature corn. And I said, well, let's see how they do that with the old General Lee, because then the gravel road's right out front. I'll just hook this baby and pop the tire, and we'll go down. Oh, and then you roll it through the ditch, snap off the brake handle, you know, bust up your leg a little bit, and then you don't do that again.
They didn't have concussion testing those days, did they?
Also had a dirt bike. No, and I never did recover from that. Also had a dirt bike. Have never owned an actual motorcycle.
I think motorcycles are the coolest thing in the world, but I could never get on one.
No?
No.
Wow, you are such a wuss.
I am.
I'm same way.
Yeah, big time.
I'm same way.
I love looking at him, though.
I want to welcome in Nick Hoff here, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Outstanding comedian out of Hastings. Again, we'll judge if he's outstanding, and you can do that as well. He's going to be.
Yeah, he's going to take off.
He's going to Lincoln. He's going to Lincoln tonight. Tomorrow night, Friday night, he's going to be at the World Theater here in Kearney, and then Hastings, his hometown. He'll be there Saturday at the Lark, and then he's off to Denver, Las Vegas. Makes his home now out in California. So yep. Is this small town boy done good, or what do you think?
I'm trying to get funnier every day.
What's the training like for that? Trying to get funnier every day.
A lot of booze. Just tons and tons of booze. That's all it is, just hanging out in dirty, dingy nightclubs.
We were talking before the break, if you had any baseball stories for Coach Damon Day, but then let's throw him right under the bus when he said, who's George Carlin?
Yeah. Apparently, Coach.
I apologize. I knew him as the guy. He was the Zen master in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
That's what I knew him as.
That mediocre movie from the 90s is his starting point for one of the
legends.
That's
my point of reference.
We did go over the seven words you can't say on the radio or TV during the break. And, of course, you know,
I will Google him.
You should.
I will Google him this afternoon in my office to see if
that'll be an adventure for you.
To see.
When we get done with Nick, I know I have the baseball-football comparison on file here, and we'll find that for you.
There you go.
But, Nick, how much of your upbringing do you incorporate into your stand-up act?
All of it. That you take all your experiences and just lump it in and find the funny.
Give me something that would be specific about Hastings that you use.
Well, growing up, graduating from Hastings High, Tom Osborne, that was his alma mater. And they just had these giant posters of him, just two giant, like 10-foot posters right on the main landing. And you just knew, no matter what you accomplished, that you were never going to replace him. You could cure cancer, and they'd be like, well, three national titles. I don't think we're going to, you know.
So you're looking for maybe an 8x10?
Yeah, just something. Just something. I think I was a powerlifting state champ there, so they put that up. I think that's in the weight room.
How have we not heard that already? Why is that not on your bill, your promo?
It should be on my resume right there.
Are you kidding me?
In the 103-pound division, I was a monster. Watch out for me.
Now, when I was in high school, if you did something really cool, you got like one of those cardboard little statues that they put in the trophy case. Do you have a cardboard statue cut out at Hastings?
No, they just took the team picture and plastered it up there.
They didn't take you out of that picture, did you?
Just wipe me out. Okay, 103 pounds, that doesn't even exist anymore. They don't make them that small these days.
The experience of growing up in this part of the state for some folks lends its own brand of comedy. What Nebraska has been made fun of for years and years, but then you go to California and folks from this part of the state have a lot of things they can make fun of the big city of. What are you learning on the other side?
I fit into zero culture now. I out there, I'm just the small town boy here. I'm, oh, you're from the big city now, huh? Yeah, I'm just not good enough anywhere I go. That's just all that is. And I learned to appreciate both sides. I like coming back here every Christmas, get my dose of snow, and then I'm happy to leave the snow between January and March.
Nick Hoff is with us here in studio on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Sports, how much of that, besides the powerlifting, was that part of your upbringing?
Football, every year except for junior year, where I still hadn't grown, and I was like, well, I'm not going to ride the pine here. And I did play baseball growing up until I was 17, but in Hastings, they put the Pony League teams used to be 13 years old to 17 years old. So as a 13-year-old, I'm going up against these guys that are just
shaving.
What seemed like 95 miles an hour to me. I had a rule. I didn't swing until I had two strikes. I was purely ducking in the beginning. My parents had to buy me the helmet with the face mask. Nobody else is wearing the face mask. I'm like, no, protect the moneymaker. I'm not going out like this.
Is that the way you teach them now, Damon?
Yeah, that's exactly. For some of our guys, when they get a bat in their hand, just stand there. Just stand there and duck.
Did it ever become some of my coaching advice when I was playing was don't swing until you have two strikes. I mean, should I have been embarrassed by that?
I always was big on just to swing. Swing at the first three.
The first three, and on the fourth one you go, just you go swing, sit there and you
swing.
Can eat your fish or
you're
sunflower
going somewhere.
If at least you got three hacks at it. That's the key there. Nick, tell us a little bit about, I guess, the has to be some excitement about what you're doing with your career and where you've been able to go. What do you like what you're doing right now? Give us a couple of stories for the folks that don't know all the things you've been able to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, doing stand-up every night, that's my favorite thing in the world. Love making people laugh. I've been in a few TV commercials, been able to work with, like, Peter Farrelly, who did Dumb and Dumber and Something About Mary. And then I was cast by Philip Seymour Hoffman in a commercial, so I got to work with him before he passed. That was a lot of fun. Sorry to bring up death, but I thought that was the theme with the three-wheeler. Five out of four people die on three-wheelers.
It seems to be that segue all the way around.
How do I make a joke about that? You finally get it in, and poof, he's gone. You know, what do you do? But folks may have seen you and not known it. Tell the folks about some of the work that they may have seen you in.
I've sold you beer through Miller Lite. If you're a Miller Lite drinker, I've sold you that. BMW, Wendy's Breakfast. If you've ever partaken in a little extra weight gain, then I've been there for you, holding your hand. Amazon.com, been on that.
I can check off a couple of those. I have not purchased a BMW yet, though.
Not gotten that BMW just yet?
They don't sell those at Midway, so
I'll talk to them.
Can't take care of that.
Well, what's the coolest venue? I mean, your bio's awesome. It's kind of been all over the place. What's the coolest venue?
Coolest venue? I did a theater in Charleston, South Carolina. It was just amazing. They were packed tight in on you, and it was this old theater that was just really cool, had a ton of history, and I just thought the crowds there were phenomenal. I love doing it.
Got any good heckler stories? You cannot be a stand-up comedian without having a heckler story.
Well, yeah. Anymore, it becomes just, you know, dealing with it as quickly and efficiently as you can. And if that means, you know, putting somebody on suicide watch, so be it. You know, you've got a job to do and you got to put them in their place. Early on, I was the one on suicide watch. Early on, when I didn't have my chops yet, somebody came after me. I shuddered, just went home and cried in the shower for an hour. Just cold, let the hot water turn cold on my head. That was just a sad moment back in 2005.
Is there a playbook for hecklers? Mm-hmm. And responses that you work on, or is it your own style?
No. Every situation is unique, so it's just about, you know, seeing what you're dealing with, sizing them up, realizing if things go south, you may have to run, I'm not above that.
We're talking with comedian Nick Hoff here on the Doug and Daddy Show, originally from Hastings, makes his home out in California now. Best of the Fest at the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival. You're familiar with that, Damon. You've played some baseball out there.
Yes, been out to the West Coast.
Is that like a huge trophy or is that like a pin?
It's a pretty big festival. I think it eclipses powerlifting.
Chuck Liddell's from there, right?
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he
from San Luis Obispo?
Yeah.
All right. Well, he wasn't heckling me there.
He wrestled there.
You got to watch out for those guys because those guys sometimes will say something. And you'll go after them, and then you realize they got that cauliflower ear, and you're like, you know what? Let me go ahead and move on. Let me stick with what I had planned and ignore that guy's japes. I'm not going to die tonight.
Now, by watching you on TV earlier this week, we find out that you're also a new father. How's
Absolutely.
That going so far?
It's all right. He's on tour with me right now. Wife's a teacher, so I packed up the wife and kid. He's 7 months old. And, you know, he's pretty good in that back seat until he craps himself. And then it's then it's pull over, changing him on the hood of the car. People just honking their horn as they go by, just like, all right, move along.
I have such an obvious question that I want to ask, but I just can't. Who gives you more comedy to your routine right now, your new child or the missus?
The kid, because he can't object to anything I say. I talk about his penis size. He can't say anything. Can I say penis? I just said it twice. He can't say anything about it right now. I don't know if he's going to find the YouTube clips later on in life and think, oh, thanks a lot, Dad.
Yeah, well, it's better than Ray Rice's kid. Anyway, let's go to the Dent Popper inbox here. Trend says, ask Nick about his encounter with Coach Osborne at a Husker camp when he was a freshman.
You know, I think I've blocked out all stories that lead to me not playing professional football. I did go to the Husker football camp when I was a little kid. And, you know, like I talked about being 103 pounds, all these guys would come into this Husker camp, and some of them were legitimate recruits, like these guys that were looking at playing in Nebraska. And I'm, you know, 5'1", just like, hey, throw me the ball. Just getting up in people's faces. I don't understand why these guys aren't passing. I felt like Keyshawn Johnson. It's like, now we're going to go.
Throw me the damn ball. I paid my money. Throw me the ball. Who was your idol, so to speak? Why comic? Why comedian?
I thought we were still talking about football. I had Tommy Frazier coming out of a holster there. That was the guy growing up. Bill Cosby was big when I was really young. Jerry Seinfeld was big. Any more, Brian Regan and Bill Burr are just fantastic comics, guys that I look up to. Just trying to get on that Mount Rushmore of comedy so the coach of UNK doesn't know who I am one day.
Well, now, I better have you slap those on because we go to the fan line here. Blake joins us on the phone. He has a story about you. Blake, what do you got?
Welcome home.
Nick, hey, this is Blake Hyde. A long time no talk.
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey. My brother just called me and told me you were being interviewed on the radio, and I thought I'd call in and tell a story because I get to take a little bit of credit for your start in comedy. My parents in high school had gone out of town, and I had the poor decision, which is still, I think my parents are a little bit sore about it, but decided to have a very large party at our house. And I remember you standing down in our living room with a guitar amplifier and a microphone doing stand-up. And so I figured I'd try to call in, let everybody know that it's been going on for a long time, and I'd like some royalties, actually.
All right, I'll hook you up.
Now Blake, right. did it help him pick up the ladies?
Oh, well, he didn't have a problem with that to begin with, but yeah, I mean, it never hurt.
any more retort here?
No, I remember that party. Sort of. I remember that party.
Yeah.
And I remember picking up that microphone, and I don't know what I said or if it was even timely. But, I guess I do owe a big part. You know what? I remember something, speaking of baseball, your dad, I was out with some guys, and we were playing home run derby there on the field right next to Duncan in Hastings.
Uh-huh.
And none of us could get it over the fence. We're try as we might, we're trying to hit it. Nobody gets it over the fence. Finally, I decide I'm going to make somebody feel good. I pitch the ball, and I take the other ball in my hand, and I launch it over the fence, just throw it from the pitcher's mound. And I hit your dad's car as he was driving. He was driving
that you. He blamed it.
That full-size van he used to drive. I hit it, and he stopped on a dime, got out of his car, looked. I had hit the little, like, step up where you, like, step into the van. And he looked at it, and I was like, oh, God, I'm going to get yelled at. I am in deep doo-doo here. And he just goes, nice hit! I was like, that is the story. Somebody hit that ball. Nobody threw that over the fence.
Hey, Blake, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, buddy. Take care.
Very good. You guys take care.
Doug and Daddy Show, we're talking with the comedian Nick Hoff here. You're in Lincoln tonight. Tell everybody where you're going to be this weekend.
Yeah, tonight at the Bourbon Theater in Lincoln. I believe tickets are still available for that and should be at the door as well. And then tomorrow night, that's Friday, I'm at the World Theater in Kearney, and you can get those tickets at theworldtheater.org and probably at the box office right before the show. And then Saturday, two shows in Hastings at the Lark Theater, and those tickets are available online and at Uncle Neil's gas stations in Hastings.
I do have one more question, because usually, just like a concert, there's always kind of an opening act. Comedy nights, there could be a whole bunch. You will have a one or two opening for you. You ever worry that they might be funnier?
Nope.
You ever just cut them if that happens? It's
no,
never happened?
No, absolutely not. If they're funny, that's fantastic. And, you know, I want the show to be as good as possible, and that's why I only brought good comedians with me.
That's like asking the starting quarterback if he's afraid the third team guy is going to beat him out. Nope.
Absolutely not. I'm throwing touchdowns, kid.
Ain't happening.
Hey, and if there's any former girlfriends from Kearney High that want to call in, we can probably lengthen this segment at any time so we can get better stories. But maybe we'll put that on hold, too.
I don't know if I had that sexual prowess that Blake led on when I was – I told
never
you guys,
admit,
I
never admit that on air.
Until don't. Senior year. I don't know if the ladies were – I had myself on their radar. I'm not sure about that.
Well, he's going to be, if you're heading out to Vegas later on in August, he'll be at the Improv at Harrah's. He's in Denver at the Improv next weekend, and of course he's here in the Tri-Cities. You've also got some work that folks can pick up, DVD. Can you tell us about that?
Yep, I've got a DVD called Man of the House. I don't know if I have enough for everybody listening, so make sure you get on my website right away and order those.
You might. I don't know how big our audience is today. With Damien, with Damien and me in here, I don't know. It might.
We were talking
all seven people might.
All right, you seven, though. Just go to the website right away to ensure that you get it.
Nick, it's been a pleasure meeting you and chatting with you anytime. Well, we welcome you back. I know it's not Bob and Tom, but it is Doug and Dan.
No, this has been fantastic. Come out and see a show this weekend.
Sounds good. Nick Hoff, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
We'll be back and talk a little baseball, talk a little Iowa football. Stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We had to kick Damon Day out because he's got the big soccer. And, you know, as quirky as it is, we're going to be talking with Paul Stroh, Shelton Gibbon coach here. When it comes to any type of baseball, we have to be careful with those NCAA rules, which just seems weird. But Damon not available to chat with the coach, so we let him go watch some soccer.
Hey, I got a
Monty Kratzenstein, by the way.
I got a text message here.
Same one I from, got.
Yeah, yeah. talks the about the cover. How popular is soccer when all of a sudden we're leading off this show with soccer. So I said. Scott says,
soccer has truly arrived in America when Doug, Damon, and Monty opened the show with soccer talk. Booyah! Mission accomplished. I'm out. Well, Damon and Monty did.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And listen, and I'm telling you, we all followed his journey to Brazil, and that's good stuff. I will admit to being a bandwagon World Cup soccer fan.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I was a U.S. fan. Not a World Cup soccer fan. I was a U.S. fan. I wanted to see the U.S. win, do well. To watch Portugal and Argentina, didn't care. That's fine. That's fine. People want to watch the Masters. They don't watch golf the rest of the year. Fine. You want to watch the Kentucky Derby? Yep. You don't care about the Breeders' Cup? Fine. I want to talk a little bit of golf, though. A lot to kind of encompass here. First off, our friends at the Holdridge Country Club want to let you know about the 87th annual Southwest Open, one of, if not the oldest open in the entire state and definitely in our listening area. It's coming up August 9th and 10th, 2 days of outstanding golf on their beautiful golf course. Got a chance to play there just a couple of weekends ago. It is in great shape, as it always is. The entry fee is $95. That also includes a free practice round on that Friday, so get your tee time scheduled. Free range balls out on the range, the dinner Saturday night, which is outstanding by the staff there, and, of course, the Calcutta. For more information, call the Country Club. Get signed up today, 308-995-5744, 995-5744, or go to their website, HoldridgeCC.com, HoldridgeCC.com. And if you're looking for golf this weekend, they still have a spot or two. Scott Johnson called me from the Kearney Boosters Club and said they had some rearranging of teams, which left them a spot or two open for the Kearney Booster Club tournament, which is tomorrow. Going on at Meadowlark Hills, registration at noon, tee off at 1. So if you were looking to play tomorrow and we'll have some buddies and family or whatever, want to go support Kearney High, get a hold of Scott Johnson, get a hold of Meadowlark Hills. And again, they only had room for one or two teams left. And then, of course, out at the Kearney Country Club this weekend, it's the annual Miller Coors 3-man scramble. A lot of teams in that. Shotgun at 12:30 Saturday and then 10 o'clock on Sunday. So contact the KCC for that. But right now, let's talk a little baseball here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We had a couple of state champions crowned last night in the Class A Juniors, Grand Island 5 Points. We talked with their coach, Joe Wells, before the state tournament. He has played for a state champion. He has coached a state champion. He was a bat boy for a state champion, I believe it was, for his father. And now, Paul Stroh and the Shelton Gibbon Seniors win the Class C state tournament last night. And Paul joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, good morning and congratulations to your youngsters.
Thank you, and good morning, Doug and Monty, and thanks for having me on.
Well, I'll tell you what, you got all kinds of baseball things going on in the Stroh family right now.
That is correct. Once we get off the radio with you, we're packing up and heading to Indy.
Well, your son, let's start there. Your son Seth is the holdover from last year's team that got to go to Indianapolis, and he's had quite a first couple of weekends with this team. I believe it's 5 home runs in 5 games. And talk a little bit about being that young, but being the experienced kid on the team.
Well, I think it'll really help him out and the team out that they have at least one kid who's been there, and he got some experience last year playing in the field and pitching. So I think that'll also help him and the team. And he ended the year really good and had a good district and state tournament, and hopefully he won't let that go to his head and just focus on his fundamentals and keep doing what he's been doing.
Coach, are you able to put away the coaching hat when it comes to Seth and put on the parent hat, or how difficult is that?
Well, I would tell you my boys would say I always have the coaching hat on, and I talk about the things they didn't do well and need to improve on, and my wife will tell them how great of players they are.
How – I know at the Kearney level, a lot of folks say, wow, this team is doing so well. They're going to be incredible when they make it to the senior status, and we're starting to get to that point. How hard is the transition from where these little leaguers are to just playing junior and senior baseball?
Well, I think the transition, as you know, the fields get bigger, the pitching mound's back, and especially in Class A ball, everybody's got good athletes. So a lot of those hits are getting at the lower levels that are taken away. And they got to really focus on their fundamentals, especially on the pitching, you know, just pitching correctly so they can pitch six or seven innings in a game. So it helps the pitching staff out.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your state championship, and we're talking with Paul Stroh here. You had many close games at the state tournament down in Hebron, but able to win almost all of those. You got clipped by Sutton, the defending champ, the night before. It's always nice to have that comfort zone going into the championship. Were you concerned at all? The kids still seemed like they played a pretty good baseball game, even in that loss.
No, we were lucky. We had our pitching set up. Garrett Stroh pitched the first game on Saturday. And we got to win over a very good Malcolm team, which I think most coaches would say going in was probably the team to beat. But on Sunday night, Karen Hawks pitched. He gave us seven innings, and that was the extra inning game against Wymore, in which we were behind the whole game. And A.B. Roloff hit a triple with two outs and bases loaded in the full count, which allowed us to tie and then win the game in the extra innings. And then we used our two junior pitchers, which we brought up, Tanner Gideon and Corbin Hines, for the next two games. I know Garrett got the win on game three, but he only pitched one inning. But Tanner Gideon's and Corbin Hines allowed us to keep Garrett and Taryn back. So if we did have to go to two games, or if we did lose the game, we had pitching set up that we were confident that if we did win, it was going to be a close game, and they were going to keep us in the game the whole way.
You know, it's always fun for me to look at a tournament coach and see just what you're talking about, the differences in pitching and how some guys rely on one guy and they have their horse. But there always are those games that come down to somebody that you might not expect. Talk a little bit about those junior guys that came up and had to pitch at that level.
Well, Tanner Gideon, I think he pitched, between Tanner and Corbin, they pitched 15 innings. And I think they only gave up two earned runs. Hebron has a unique field that goes from west to east, and we played the 5 o'clock game with Wymore, in which there was actually, I think, seven balls, four that they hit, three that we hit, that were just lost in the sun, which allowed that game to be kind of a high-scoring game because of those, I don't know if we want to call them errors or what, but the kids just couldn't pick them up. And those kids were very confident in their pitching, and the team is very confident when they pitch that they're going to eat innings and keep us in the game.
Did you see this coming early in the season or even middle part of the season?
We knew we were going to have a good team. The team got second to state at the junior level last year. Our biggest problem, like every small town, is just getting numbers out. So to start the season, we only had seven seniors out, and then we picked another one up. So a lot of the juniors were playing up the whole year, so our seniors were very comfortable with them. And then after June 15th, we kind of separated. We moved two juniors up that were going to play with them on the official roster, and they went to a Fort Calhoun tournament, which is a Class B tournament, to end the year, and the Grand Island tournament, which is Class B and had some of the A, B teams in it, and they won the Grand Island tournament, and they went 1-2 in the Fort Calhoun tournament. In one of the games, they lost by one run, but we have a pretty tough schedule. We played seven Class B teams, in which three of them made to the final four or five, I think, in Class B, Albion, Boone Central, Crete, and Cozad. So throughout the year, we were able to beat the good C teams and play with the Class B teams and beat most of them. So we were pretty confident that if our pitchers pitched well, that we would have a good tournament.
Another minute here with Shelton Gibbon, state championship coach Paul Stroh. They were a 5-1 winner over Hebron last night, and as you said, anymore. It's not just Shelton Gibbon. I know you got some kids from Wood River. Are there other schools that we need to mention here?
Nope. Last night in the final game, we had four kids from Wood River starting, three from Gibbon and two from Shelton. And then total on the team, we have four from Wood River, four from Shelton, four from Gibbon. So, you know, that's a big help. It's just tough right now in these small towns to keep baseball going, but combining the teams is, you know, is a big plus for us.
Well, you almost have to be in these small towns. You almost have to be a dad and have your son playing. And your son, Gareth, was. He had a big shot last night. Just talk about how cool that is to be able to share it with him, and especially since he had a big home run last night.
Well, he pitched a great game last night. I think he had 10 strikeouts, I was told, after the game. And he didn't walk anybody. And actually, that was his first home run of the year. All of his brothers have hit home runs all year, so that's kind of been a sore spot with him. He did a great job in the tournament. I think at one time he got on it 9 times in a row. And then Taron Hawks and Johnny Harders, who hit behind them, did a great job of hitting them in. And I want to put a plug in for John Harders. He's our catcher. I don't think anyone stole against him the whole tournament, so that's a good job to our pitchers and him, making sure that when guys did get on, they weren't moving to second or third.
Paul, how many of these kids move on? Will there be a solid foundation for a chance to repeat next year, or at least have a lot of kids returning?
Well, we'll have a solid. We get all of our pitching back. We lose first baseman and our starting second baseman. We only have one junior moving up. So again, we're going to have to recruit and get a couple extra kids to come out. So we'll be solid again with the junior team and with the senior team as long as everybody comes back and is healthy.
Well, Paul, we'll let you get on that road to Indianapolis because we know that's a good solid 10-plus hour drive out there, and hopefully there's a lot more success throughout the month of August for Seth and the rest of the Little Leaguers. But for today, everyone just wants to say, hey, congratulations and a job well done.
And thank you for having me on, and you guys have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Paul.
Good job, Coach.
That's Paul Stroh, Shelton Gibbon manager, state champions. They went through beating some quality teams. Malcolm 3-1 in the opener, then 9-8 and 9 innings over Wymore. Then in the winner's bracket final, they beat Hebron, who was the host. And it's always interesting when the host gets in and is really good and starts winning baseball games. And, of course, they were down there with Malcolm being a very good team in their area, Sutton a very good team in their area in that southeastern portion of the state. Then they beat Hebron 15-5. Which put them into the championship against Sutton, who beat them 4-3. So then they fall all the way to that championship game. Everybody plays on that next to last day so they're not setting off to the side and it doesn't take as long to play. So Sutton stayed alive, and then Hebron beat Sutton last night. And then in the championship game, Shelton Gibbon over Hebron. On the other side, things didn't go as well for Grand Island Home Federal. Well, what a game, what a night for Creighton Prep catcher Mike Imodi in the first game. 3 home runs, 2 of them were grand slams. He had 10 RBI in a 14-5 Creighton Prep win over Grand Island, and then they come back and won against Calvin Hinkey, who has had such a great year. They got up on him 5-0, and then 13-2 ended up being the final. A lot of people thought Creighton Prep was one of the two best teams in the state. Grand Island, Prep, Westside, all showing that. And Prep wins the National Division, and Westside won the American Division. They'll both head up to regionals in North Dakota.
Well, Grand Island has a lot to be proud of. And I know probably last night didn't go very well for him, but that is not an indication at all of how their season went and quality of program and quality of players they had. But, boy, you got to take your hat off to a program like Creighton Prep and what they've done. And that's a night. I mean, it's pretty tough when you have a kid like that come
it's
up the base.
Well,
just to get up twice with the bases loaded like that is a rare occasion. And then gong 2 of them, that's something else.
You don't even hear about that in slow pitch, do you?
No.
Hickman won the Class B senior title. Crete beat him the first game, but Hickman gets him in the second game. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Monty Kratzenstein with you here on ESPN Radio as part of the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Brandon Scherf is going to join us as part of our Big Ten coverage. Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday about Indomicon Sue. What would you rather see Sue do, test free agency at the end of the year or return to the Lions? Monty, I said it's completely on how the Lions seasons go. If that's how they're going to play it out and things don't look good for the Lions, you test free agency. If they have a good year and they're headed in the right direction, you return to the Lions. Your thoughts?
That's exactly right, because what's their philosophy going to be? Are they going to, you know, do that fire sale thing where they're going to start over, start young? I always personally love it when guys are drafted by a team and stay with the team for a long, long, long time. So I hope he stays. I like some of the things they have going, but, you know, it's professional sports and you don't know what the management and what their philosophy is going to be at the end of the year. Them postponing it till the end of the year kind of tells you that it's going to be a wait and see, and there's a possibility that they're going to let some guys go or move in another direction, as we say.
And our Midtown Mart cooler question today, which you can vote on anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com, which player has a better chance of winning Big Ten Player of the Year, Amir Abdullah on offense or Randy Gregory on defense? That's an excellent question. And I know where I'm voting, and I'm going to vote Randy Gregory, because I think defensively he has to rely on fewer people helping him out to get the job done than Amir does on offense. And I think the risk of injury to the offensive player touching the ball as many times as he does is a little bit greater. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I'm going to disagree with you just because that's what I do.
and you're good at it.
I'll always go with the offensive guy just because media likes the offensive player more. I also think there's a way to game plan against a, you know, Nebraska's obviously going to put Randy Gregory in some different positions. Don't look for him just to line up on that outside in a three-point and come. They're going to have to change some of their schemes. But I also think from a defensive end standpoint, take a look at Clowney last year. There's ways you can game plan against a guy. So he might have a better year than last year, but statistically I don't know that he will. And so I think that might, you know, and again, player of the year a lot of times is just about statistics. Amir obviously has to stay healthy for them, and the team has to do well for either one of them to be considered player of the year.
And you can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. One final thought, as a media person, as the people that vote on that, I can rattle off way more offensive players than I can defensive players, which, again, I think Randy's already preseason second behind Shalik Calhoun of Michigan State, so his name is there. But you can, there's at least 10 guys you can rattle off the top of your head offensively to maybe three defensively. Right. So I think that just puts it in your mind a little bit more, too. So.
Well, and to me, there's always a difference. That's that age-old argument of player of the year versus most valuable, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's that old thing because, again, statistics and – and I think there's enough offensive players, good, well, great offensive players in the Big Ten that will statistically take that away. And you know, all I know is I'm happy. I'm happy going into the year that we have two guys even that are able to have that question. You know, two guys, one on offense, one on defense, that are candidates for that. That's a good thing.
And one other Nebraska note: Will Bolt leaves the baseball program to take a similar position as an assistant coach at Texas A&M. More on that. Plus, Brandon Scherff, he really cleaned 425?
Three times.
Is that close to your record?
That's close.
Monty Kratzenstein, former Husker. Doug Duda with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. More when we come back.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You'll get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get fresh natural casing jalapeno cheddar bratwurst, only $2.98 a pound. A 5-pound bag of fully cooked chicken wings, only $11.95 each. And USDA Select Boneless New York Strip Steaks, only $7.88 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Family fun at the World Theater in Kearney this Saturday and Sunday nights. The family classic, Charlotte's Web.
Now, at last, the classic book by E.B. White charms the screen with its warm tale of friendship between a little girl and a lovable pig.
It's only $5 a show. Affordable drinks and concessions, too. The World Theater in Kearney. Thanks for keeping the world spinning. All showtimes online, theworldtheater.org.
This is Wayne. Wayne, tell everyone why you're talking like that. Because someone triple dog dared you to touch the side of a beer can from the Midtown Mart cooler with your tongue and now it's stuck. Is that about covered? Wayne, by the way, no longer doubts that Midtown Mart has the coldest beer in town. Free ice and free carry out for Midtown Mart customers. The convenient liquor mart. Midtown Mart on West 2nd and Hastings.
Find themselves right in the middle.
Home run, David Ortiz, the opposite way.
Can the Yankees and Red Sox make a second half push as the hunt for October heats up?
Turning, looking, gone! Derek Jeter.
Yankees and Red Sox, Saturday at 3, Sunday night at 7 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Boston Red Sox trade John Lackey to the Cardinals. Already John Lester traded out to the A's for their home run king, Eunice Cespedes, as the trade deadline approaches this afternoon.
Hate it. Hate the fact that the Red Sox, with their tradition and defending champions, have to fire sell people.
Brandon Scherff is coming up, outstanding Iowa offensive lineman, part of our Big Ten preview, brought to you by Misco Sports at Ord, now under new ownership. Stop in and say hi to Steve, Jeremy, and Megan, the new owners, and ask them about getting your Husker gear for the upcoming season. They also carry ASICS footwear for the entire family. The same great people that have been taking care of you with quality products for decades continue to do so out of their storefront location in Ord. And, of course, their new website is coming up soon. Before we hear from Brandon, a couple of things that I just wanted to mention. Did you watch Sharknado last night?
No.
I guess if you're on Twitter or any of the social media last night, that just goes crazy.
I did watch some reports on Twitter, though. I'm a Twitter guy now.
I watched about 5 minutes of it, 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
And you see people that are now B, C, D celebrities. I mean, Billy Ray Cyrus is a doctor. The cast of 90210 is on there. I mean, it's like everything they show. Tara Reid's on there. It's like everything they show. I get it. It's the fun. They're making fun of. It's a bad show, but all these people are together. That had to be kind of fun for them. Wishing that they were good once again.
I'm not going to take credit for the tweet, but somebody said something about the shark actually looked more real than Tara Reid did. Is that true?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I like Twitter.
Also on the flip side of things, the Royals win tonight. They get that 7-2 that I went off of, and I'm pretty fired up about that, Jeff.
Yep, on July 22nd, Doug says if they don't go 7-2, they're done, and so they're 6-2 right now.
Won 5 in a row, lost 2, including a game to the Twins, who are not good. They were down to the Twins last night. Alex Gordon has a big night, 3-for-4, RBI scores, and a 3-2 win over Minnesota. So they finish it up tonight. I've sent Greg Shea down there personally to make sure that they win that seventh game to go 7-2, because then they hit the road. They're going to get the brunt of these Oakland A's trades, because that's who's up next for the Royals this weekend. Then they play Arizona, and they have that West Coast swing. So
what do they have to go in their next 10, Mr. Nostradamus?
Well, what do they have to? You want to go 500 on the road.
Yep.
But to stay in contention, they will have to go 500 on the road, and contention means 6-7 games back at this point. Also, a sad anniversary yesterday, a sport that we talk about once in a while on the show, but it was 25 years ago yesterday that we lost Lane Frost out at Frontier Days in Cheyenne from a freak bull riding accident. And I know if you don't follow rodeo, so be it. Don't know. But the movie 8 Seconds was made about Lane, which was a heck of a story. But at the age of 25, passed on from just a tragic bull riding, got gored by a bull. Once he got off, it was a freak deal. And that happened 25 years ago yesterday. Frontier Days going on now.
Yep. We drove through on our vacation back, drove through Cheyenne and the RVs and the pickups and the cars and the concerts. You ever been out to Frontier Days?
No.
Need to.
Sad.
Need to do it.
I know. Had a chance to go this year.
It's one of those things where even if you aren't into the culture of the rodeo, if you aren't a rodeo fan or the concerts, the people watching, it's a good show.
I'm not even going to introduce this, but it's out today. Okay, are you ready for Husker football?
Yeah.
Husker fans, are you ready for Husker football? Are you ready?
I found myself in a unique situation last winter of deciding if it was time to pursue my dream of playing in the NFL. In order to fully understand my decision to return to Nebraska, you have to know who I am and where I come from. To pursue that dream early would have been breaking my family's tradition of completing our college education. When looking at it from that perspective, the choice was made for me. I've come to realize that life is bigger than football, and that my chances of long-term success in life will be greatly enhanced by completing my college education. It is truly an honor to play for this program, to represent the N, and to one day walk across that stage with my diploma in hand. I'm Imran Abdullah, and I play for Nebraska.
How's that got you, Husker alum? What do you think, Monty?
That gives me goosebumps. That's a good one. And that's I sent a message to those three guys to the participate in the and you were there firsthand. But I think they handled themselves and they represented as well as any group that has ever been part of that media days. I mean, just class people. Well-spoken, articulate, good message, good representatives. It did my heart good. It was nice to see.
Another good group this year, I will have to say it, was Iowa. And Brandon Scherf up there for All-American honors is a big, big man who can play some football. And he is part of our Big Ten preview today, brought to you by the Chicken Coop in Kearney, your original sports bar and grill, serving flame-broiled buffalo wings. Stop in and see them today for lunch. Talking Iowa Hawkeye football on today's Doug and Daddy show with one of the top linemen in the entire conference. We talk with Brandon Scherf here on the Doug and Daddy show, and he looks like a lineman, all stacked up and ready to go and play some football. And Brandon, thanks for the time. How are you?
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Well, Iowa football, and we've been talking about this. You know how it is in the media. You got a sports talk show, or you write a radio, or write a newspaper column. How's your team going to do? You guys really stepped up last year, and I think, you know, a couple of games more could have went your way the way right. you played at the end. What happened? What was the key factor in that?
I think just small details, you know, just, you know, holding on to your block a little longer, or, you know, missing one tackle. You know, Coach Ferentz always stresses details and the small, you know, the little things that, you know, cause big things to happen. And, you know, that's what tape's for. You always get to go back, but you always have to correct. You know, you got to make sure what you did wrong and make sure you just don't do it again and just correct it, and so the same thing doesn't happen again.
A lot of people don't necessarily notice an offensive line. Offensive lineman never gets their name called during the game right. unless they have a holding penalty right. or something like that. How do you kind of approach that? Do you like the aspect that that there's that anonymity, but yet the real spine of the football team is the offensive line?
I mean, absolutely. You know, we love being physical up front. You know, we don't need any recognition. We love when Mark and, you know, Damon, they get all theirs, because then we know we did our job. You know, when Mark runs for, you know, 5 yards untouched and, you know, we move the chains off that, or 10 yards, and or he gets a touchdown, a 30-yard touchdown. You know, we did our job, and, you know, it's good for him, and, you know, he helps us out just as much as we try to help him out too. So
there's a rich tradition of offensive linemen at Iowa. Are you in contact with some of those older guys? Do they give you some advice?
Right, I talked to Riley Reef. I've talked to Marshall Yonda before, and yeah, I mean, Zusevic, James Ferentz, and I played with those guys too, and they helped me a lot. So.
We're talking with Brandon Scherf here on the Doug and Daddy Show. What does it say when the lineman is the offensive player of the year for your team?
I mean, I think the O line. I think that's what we want to establish ourselves as is you know, most physical unit on the field, and, you know, that's one of our goals. And, you know, I wouldn't have gotten that award without those other four guys. So I think it's for us five.
Talk about your line now. This year, you got right. a lot of returners on offense at all positions.
Right, yeah. We lost Brett Van Sloten and Connor Bofelli, and, you know, Andrew Denal's played some. He's played half the reps last year, so he moves out to right tackle, and he's 6'7", he's 310 pounds, so he's more of a tackle mode. But Molds, excuse me. And then we got Sean Welsh, who's a redshirt freshman coming in for left guard. And, you know, I know how Riley helped me out so much when I was a redshirt freshman and played left guard too. So me and Austin Blythe are just trying to do the same for Sean. So whatever he has help with, we're just trying to get him up to pace.
You know, earlier I was thinking maybe we should talk to a defensive lineman about Drew Ott. Well, you've gotten to know Drew Ott pretty well since he's decided to move over on the defensive side and face you every day in practice starting in the spring. Talk a little bit about what he brings, how he's playing, just kind of your perception, because you know a lot about good defensive linemen as well. Right. What is your perception of how Drew's going? How's he doing?
He's
going
to be a heck of a football player. He's tough, physical. You know, he's a farm boy. He's tough and physical. He won the hay bale toss. You know, he's a technician too, and he's not going to give up. You know, if I outreach him, he's going to try to play over the top of me, and you know he's going to give me crap. I'm just trying to pancake him. He's trying to pancake me. So it's a good battle, and you know I'm just trying to get him better. He's doing the same for me too.
You're listed on the website at 6'5", 320.
Right.
You played quarterback for a while in high school.
I did.
What happened?
I just figured out I like hitting people more than throwing the ball. So.
But as a sophomore, you threw for like 1,500 yards or something like that.
1,200, something like that.
It just you don't see that transformation every single day. Did it take a while to learn technique and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I switched over to tight end halfway through my junior year, so then we brought a new quarterback in. And then senior year, it's a whole different thing, but I absolutely loved it.
As a former quarterback, you kind of understand the X's and O's and all that stuff. It seems like you take a real cerebral approach to blocking and the sort of schemes. How do you develop that, or is that just something that's just inherently who you are?
I think it's just who I am, and, you know, Coach Ferentz, you know, they always tell me just to be the player I can be, and just I love being physical, and I love finishing after the play, after the whistle, you know, just getting that last push in, you know, just, you know, making the defense realize, you know, I want to be physical, and, you know, I just want to play football.
We're talking with Brandon Scherff here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Grew up in Denison, Iowa. Yep. Iowa boy playing for the hometown school. Was this always the dream?
It was always a dream to play college football, and the dream came true. And, you know, I would have rather played for a better school, different school.
Would you have ever considered anything but Iowa? You ever consider anything but Iowa?
Not really. It was just, I got offers from Nebraska, Iowa State, Iowa. And, you know, I took my first trip to Iowa City, and I fell in love with it. And, you know, the O-line tradition, the coaching staff, the family atmosphere that's at Iowa is just second to none. I absolutely love it.
What is out there for Iowa? I mean, everything's out there for Iowa.
Right.
You guys are really right there. As a senior, it is primarily your goal to try to reach those. How do you try to get that extra – you put in that extra effort when you play.
Right.
How do you get that extra effort out of the rest of your teammates?
You know, just like I said, the smaller details and making sure everybody's on the same page. That's what, you know, practice for, just taking it one day at a time and, you know, watching film and just correcting those details, make sure they don't happen again, and just, you know, just playing your best each Saturday and just, you know, just trying to get better.
Are you a quiet leader, or are you going to be a in-your-face kind of guy?
I mean, I try to show by example, but, I mean, if they want me to get in their face, I can try. I just try to lead by example.
I bet you can get there. If you want to get in somebody's face, I bet you can get there.
I just try to lead by example and just trying to show people the right way it's done. So,
Brandon, when you dream about football, I mean, I seriously think you guys can be 10-0, and then we'll see what happens with the last two games. Do you dream that big? I know there's that all one week at a time, one practice at a time. But when you allow yourself to think big, what do you think?
You know, the dream's always for, you know, Big Ten schools, the Big Ten championship. So, I mean, yeah, everybody's got a chance to get there. It's just, you know, you got to come prepared each day, each week. And, yeah, like you said, take one day at a time. But, you know, that's the ultimate goal right there, Rose Bowl and Big Ten championship.
Now, some people say broadcasting would be like a leisure studies major. What is a leisure studies major?
I'm a sports studies major. I want to get into coaching. So I want to coach.
There's not a lot of leisure activity in that.
Not at all.
That's not leisurely at all. Well, last second here with Brandon, we've talked about a variety of things. I want to know a little bit about the guys that you're going to be blocking for, quarterback, running back, marks, obviously outstanding. Jake's starting to come into his own. Tell me a little bit about backfield.
Jake's going to be a heck of a quarterback for us. You know, that one year experience is, you know, it's the whole world right there. It's so different, you know, what to expect coming into your second year playing. And, you know, he can be a little more you could see throughout the year Jake became more confident and, you know, he put us in the right calls. And, you know, now he knows what to expect. So, you know, he doesn't have to be, you know, you're always nervous your first year you're playing and all that. But, you know, all those nerves can, you know, just be thrown away to the side and just go out there and play football, have fun. Yeah, we got Mark, LaShawn Daniels. They like running to people. They like contact. And then Damon Bullock and Jordan Canzeri, they like, you know, they're going to hit the hole too. So they're not afraid of contact either. So we're just trying to do our job for them, and we know they'll do their job for us.
I promise that was the last question. One more, though.
One more.
You talked about getting big, going through the weight room.
Right.
Obviously, Iowa had the issue right when you kind of got there. Right. How long did it take to get everybody healthy, get past that, not worry about that, and maybe just learn about what happened?
I think it took maybe a month. I mean, they kind of slowed back on the conditioning, but after that, they just ramped it right back up. So,
a weird deal.
Coach Dolan knows his stuff, and you know he's done a heck of a job with all of us seniors, and you know you can tell the difference.
All right. Well, he looks like he knows.
He looks like he knows what he's doing in the weight room. He does. He does.
Brandon Scherff joining us from the University of Iowa here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a great season. We'll see you the day after Thanksgiving for Iowa, Nebraska.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That is Brandon Scherff, part of our Big Ten football coverage. He's a big, big man. You have to especially tailor a suit for that guy. And our Big Ten coverage brought to you by the Catholic Diocese of Grand Island for Mass times and parish activities throughout central and western Nebraska. Go online to gidiocese.org. Tomorrow on the show, Chuck Long is going to join us. I know Bob Hamer will be tuning in for that. Former Iowa quarterback, current Big Ten analyst. Give us his thoughts now that Media Days is over. Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report. They're having their big 25th anniversary celebration coming up this weekend, and we'll talk with Bob about that, but that's part of the show tomorrow. Monty, you listened a little bit of what the young man from Iowa had to say. Some people believe that they have a very legitimate chance in the Western Division. I'm looking for your Husker thoughts. We've covered a lot of ground on a lot of topics today.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good for a guy with ADD like me. You got to jump around a little bit.
Yeah.
I have a hard time focusing.
That's Wisconsin. Jump around.
I have a I have a bias against Iowa football. I will be one of the first to admit it, and I don't know if it's founded or unfounded, but I just get tired of hearing each year how good they're going to be. They put out some great players, especially linemen. And this kid here, by the way, we'll be talking about him in the NFL for a long time. But again, I take it with a grain of salt. I wait and see, because I do know one thing, that in this conference you have to be able to play defense. You have to be able to run the ball. Okay, they can probably do both those. But I also think you have to have some playmakers. And I'm not convinced yet that they can that they can do that game in and game out, that they can score enough points to beat the good teams. Now, I think their style will help them in a lot of cases win the games they're supposed to, and it probably will be boring, and it probably won't be, you know, appealing to the masses, and it might be your stereotypical Big Ten football, and that's, you know, that might be one of the knocks against them. But I just have a hard time buying into them saying, hey, overwhelming favorite, let's go with them.
What do you think about Big Red as it sets today?
As it
Iowa, by the way, 33rd in the coaches' poll.
You and I, obviously, and on the show, we'll talk a lot more about this, but I'm as excited for this season, and I'm normally not that way. You know that.
Yeah.
But I'm as excited about this season as I have been for any season, and a lot of that has to do with, it's a cliche, it's about with the character and the leadership of this football team. Now, we'll see.
They've got that. I believe they've got that.
And they've got it, to me, and I'm not there. You know, that's the hard thing, is in analyzing that. Until you're there and you're in the locker room, until you're in the training room, until you're there. But from the outside looking in, or from the perimeter looking in, the quality of character and athlete that they have leading this team is stellar. And you know I'm a Ron Brown guy, you know, and that translates down to his running backs. And I think our running backs, I'm a Rich Fisher guy. I think that guy can coach, and I think he's a good person. I think he's a good leader. And his receivers, and you have this group, to me, you have this group of leaders, and you talk about the Cooper and Bell and Amir. They're the leaders of this team. And I think, and I don't want to point fingers, but I think throughout the years, when you look back on teams that have not performed well, I think you have to look at chemistry and you look at leadership. And those are things that are kind of intangibles that those of us on the outside really don't know about. It's not on paper. I like this team from that standpoint.
Do you give them a chance? Indianapolis-wise, I mean,
yeah,
Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, and the odds are against them because they're going to have a tremendous amount of close games, and the odds of winning all those close games are minimal. But again, when the points come out, we're going to be favored or close in a lot of games, and those guys in Las Vegas know a little something. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, just those 1 to 2, 3 plays a game that comes down to execution, comes into that, you know, really testing your character, that's what you have to win those plays. But I think we're at a point with this team because we're flying under the radar. I love the fact that nobody's picking us to be good. If I'm a coach, I'm hammering that point. You know, coaches don't like polls. You heard Damon say it. Coaches don't care.
To your advantage.
Yeah, exactly. They don't like them unless you say, "Hey, look what everybody thinks about us," and they put a chip on your shoulder. Bo Pelini's teams in Nebraska has been better playing with the chip on their shoulder over the years than they have as a front runner, and that there's no doubt about that. Statistically, it proves once and time and time again. I like that fact. I like the fact that we're going to be able to sneak up on some people. We're going to be able to do some things to people that I don't think they're going to know about right now. We've got to take. You know, having said all that, you know, you go 2 or 3 weeks in the season, have a couple key injuries, and all of a sudden we're mediocre. You know, so you and I have talked about that before. You never know about a lot of things. But going into, right, you asked me about today, right now, I'm optimistic. I like it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Let's wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Monty Kratzenstein. We had Damon Day in a little bit earlier. Athletic Director Paul Plinsky at UNK promoting 4 members of the Loper Athletic Department. Rich Broderson, Senior Associate Athletic Director. Bill Murphy, Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Medicine. Dalton Jensen, elevated to Head Assistant Wrestling Coach. Cale Holscher, promoted to full-time status as the Assistant Strength and Conditioning Coach. And we'll get into more of that as we get closer to the time for the improvements that continue on at UNK. And it's August starting tomorrow, and that means everybody gets busy. Huskers are in camp next week. Our Big Red Reports with Sean Callahan begin on Monday with the first practice. Tomorrow is Fan Day from 2 to 3:30 at the Memorial Stadium.
And the media gets to watch practice.
Yeah, just like they did in spring. They just can't report on it during practice, so we'll see if anybody messes that up. By the way, got to give a plug, some kind of golf tournament coming up for Salt and Grain here.
I think there is.
Future.
Unfortunately, there's a waiting list, so get your name. It's kind of like Packer tickets. You got to get your name on the waiting list in the years to come, then you can play.
Are you on the list?
I'm on the list.
There you go. Hey, Monty, always a pleasure. Don't be a stranger.
It's fun to come in here.
It'll be a great time when Husker football gets rolling because it's here, folks. This is really kind of the last day without it. Fan Day. Report the weekend on Sunday. Practice begins Monday. Again, tomorrow we'll talk with Chuck Long, Big Ten analyst, former All-American quarterback at Iowa. We'll also chat with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. And we will see you tomorrow. Jim Langan is a co-host here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!